Google has a new phishing quiz, Nest cams are hacked, and another photo app bites the dust. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, coming to you today from Los Angeles and also live streaming on Facebook. So thanks for joining me there as well. In this podcast, I will be taking your calls, plus I'll be talking about some great stories. This is the stuff that I think you should know about. You know, I cover tech for a living, and there's a lot of stories throughout the week, but these are the things that I identify that I think are important for you to know about, I think are interesting, and of course, you can debate that with me. We're all human here. We all have different things that we think are interesting and noteworthy. Of course, depending which side of the fence you're on, whether it's Android or iPhone or Mac or PC, or if you like, you know, home audio and video versus computers versus, you know, car tech. There's a lot of stuff happening in the tech world, but the bottom line is it is all a lot of fun. It's happening fast, and this is my attempt at helping you understand at least a little portion of it. Let's start with Moments. This is an app from Facebook that was their photo sharing app. So this was an app that would basically sync with the camera roll on your iPhone or your Android and put all the pictures kind of into a private area of Facebook. But if you wanted to share those either on Facebook or with friends, this app would make that process easier. But the problem is, apparently nobody used it or nobody liked it. I remember for a moment, talking about moments, that I actually had, I think, my mom using this app, and we decided to switch over at a certain point to Google Photos. And I think that's what a lot of people did, because as of February 25th, Facebook is shutting down Moments, but they've done something nice. They've made it very easy to export any pictures you have saved in Moments. I don't think you're going to have any pictures in here. I checked, and I had exactly two. One was some sort of screenshot. The other one was a picture of me and my mom, so I was probably demoing this app to her. But you can check. They made it very easy. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/moments_app/export. And, of course, I'll put all the links that I talk about in the show notes. But if you go there, it will show you how many moments you have, and then it will help you download those moments to a drive or however you want to do it. But after the 25th, that's it. This is all going to be gone. So it's probably a good idea just to check this website and see if you have any moments in there. You never know if you have a picture lingering in there that maybe you lost. Maybe this would be the best case scenario. Maybe you, kind of the worst best case scenario. Let's say you lost a whole bunch of pictures last year at some point, right? But you forgot that you installed this app on your phone and it was secretly or, you know, in the background saving your moments, right? Your pictures. Well, let's say you're like, oh my gosh, I look in here and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you have all these pictures that you thought were missing inside this Moments app. I hope that happens for someone. But my recommendation at this point when it comes to pictures, make sure they're saved in two different places. That is on your phone, also on a separate app like Google Photos, and then another place, either a backup hard drive, or if you just want to use everything for free, you can use something like Amazon Prime. If you're a Prime member, they have a Photos app. You can back up your photos to there as well. But that's what you need to know about Moments. It is going away on February 25th. You're on with Rich. Who is this?
Hi, Rich. This is Kashif calling you from Johannesburg, South Africa. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Johannesburg, South Africa? Welcome. What's on your mind from Johannesburg?
I bought an iPhone XS Max, and it has a dual SIM functionality. One of them is called eSIM. Why would Apple make a phone when there is no eSIM service available in the rest of the countries than America? What
so
am I going to do with this?
Your question is, why do you have the eSIM functionality if you can't use it, basically?
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. So eSIM, as you know, is, well, the dual SIM functionality has been a function in a lot of phones around the world, and specifically in the U.S., that has not been a big feature, right? So Apple decided this time to actually put this feature inside the iPhone, the new ones, the XS, the XS Max, and also the XR. But they're doing this kind of on a worldwide basis. So I think the idea is that a lot of the other manufacturers do this. It's popular in certain countries like India, not too popular in the US, but the reality is Apple wants to have this feature in the phone so that they can grow for the future.
This service to be available in South Africa any soon?
I think so, because here's the thing. In the U.S., this has not been available. Like when they first launched the phones, it was not available. It takes the carriers to actually enable it on their systems and make it available. So I think where you are, it will be available. It just won't be overnight. You know, the carriers do have to do some stuff on the back end. But once you have it, it's kind of cool. We're already seeing in America, they're really not advertising it that heavily. Like it's not a thing that they're yet saying like, hey, you should activate a second line on your phone. But I think that the future is a lot of competition could be had from this service, right? So if you have one line and you want to have a secondary line for data or maybe for work or whatever, you're an entrepreneur, whatever you want to do, they can make it so it works for you to activate this secondary line. It doesn't cost very much. So I think right now we're just at the very early stages, and I think that things will heat up, Casher, in the future.
That's great. That makes sense, man.
How are you liking the phone otherwise?
The second question is, how do you see... I love this phone, by the way. I love it. It's super fast, you know. I love the 3D touch stuff, and, you know, it's good for business, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
You said you had a second question?
The second thing is, I want to know... Yeah, like, how do you see future of Huawei in worldwide? Like, Mate 20 Pro, I have seen the phone. It's a beautiful phone, and it's a very nice phone. But we are hearing a lot of stories about Huawei that it has a security concern nowadays, you know, to use this kind of devices. How do you see this? Like, do you see a future in Huawei?
I know. This really troubles me, because here's a company that they're making the Mate 20 Pro that people just love. I mean, people are loving the camera on their high-end devices, some of the best devices when it comes to the reviewed devices. But like you said, now here in the U.S., they've all but dried up. You know, people are just not buying their devices. You can't even buy them first party. You have to buy them third party in the U.S. In the rest of the world, clearly Huawei definitely has some, you know, especially in China and in Asia, there's a lot of people purchasing their devices. I don't know what the future is, because in America, they are definitely getting a bad name when it comes to, are they spying on you? Are they doing something bad with your device? And like I said, everyone's kind of staying away from them at this point when it comes to the main carriers. And it depends where you are in the world. Like in the U.S., basically people buy their phones through their carriers, right? In the rest of the world, people sometimes, you know, they mostly buy their phones unlocked, or they buy them, you know, through third-party channels. But here in the U.S., it's all kind of linked to the carriers. So if the carriers are not accepting Huawei, that means it's going to be a problem for Huawei. So do I think they're doing something bad? I would hope not, but we just don't know. The evidence is not really clear right now. I don't think... In my experience with them, I mean, they've seemed like really nice phones with a lot of great features, so I want to like them. But I just think that this point that we're in right now is kind of very precarious grounds for them. And I think we need competitors like them to shake things up, because Samsung is great, but you need the OnePluses of the world and the Huaweis of the world to actually, you know, come up against Apple and Samsung to innovate and to come out with these devices that are less expensive with more features, and that keeps everyone on their toes.
That's great. Yeah, like I wanted to have an Android device as well, and I couldn't find any better choice than Huawei Mate 20 Pro, but then I had the same security concern because everyone was talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, because I also do my business, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so obviously I have a lot of things to do, and I was concerned about my security and privacy, you know? So
absolutely.
I had to, you know, skip on this, so... It's sad. It's a very good device, but it's sad that I can't have it, you know?
I agree, and I think a lot of people feel just the same way. Wow, look at that. Our first call all the way from South Africa. That's pretty amazing. What an amazing testament to technology that you can call me for free from all the way anywhere in the world. Let's move on to Google now. They've got this great thing online. It's a Google phishing I guess it's not a phishing website. It's a website that helps you kind of take a quiz if you can spot when you're being phished. And this is really neat. I took this quiz, and I will say I scored okay. I got one wrong out of, I think it was 8 questions. But the website is phishingquizwithgoogle.com. Now, by the way, even that website doesn't seem very good, right? If I was Google, I would have put this on my main website so that people didn't think that this website was fake. But it's phishingquiz.withgoogle.com. And so you go to this website and you take a little quiz, and it goes through the emails that you might get in your Gmail, what they might look like, and you have to decide if they're real or fake. And what's really neat about this is you may be a pro and still get caught up in this. And phishing is a real big problem right now because that is how we're giving away our credentials to websites, right? You think, oh my gosh, how in the world are you, you know, how in the world are you getting hacked these days, right? Because who logs into some random website? Well, the reality is what's happening is that we're getting an email, and inside that email it says, hey, alert, 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 your Facebook account was just hacked. Please log in here and make sure everything's okay. And you go, oh gosh, let me go change my password. And you log in without thinking because the email looks just like the email you might get from Facebook. And next thing you know, the hackers are off and running with all of your credentials. And I talk about this all the time. The main way to protect yourself is through what's called two-factor authentication. And with two-factor authentication, you sign up with your phone number. And once you have your phone number in there, it will text you a code that you must enter once you log into a website before that website will allow that login to proceed. And the idea behind this is that you will have the code on your phone. If someone's logging into your website from, say, you know, Russia, they won't have the code because it's going to your phone. So they may have your login and password, your username and password, but they won't have that special code, which really gets you in. So take the Google phishing quiz, definitely learn from it, and you will realize just how tricky some of these emails are. And what it really comes down to is looking at the URLs of the links that you're clicking. And to be honest, I would definitely not click any links that you get in an email. I mean, you just can't click them unless it's like a YouTube link, you know, but even that can be bad. So if it's asking you to log in, let's say you get an email from your bank saying, hey, we suspect fraud on your account. Don't ever click the link inside that. Just go to your bank's website, log in, and then that way you can see exactly what's going on from a fresh perspective and not from a website that someone just happens to be sending you. So good information there.
Hey, Rich. It's Greg from the AV.
Hey, Greg. Long time no talk.
Yes. Happy New Year. Just a real quick question. I have some old VHS movies. They're not available on DVD. I search everywhere. Is there a copyright law as far as like maybe taking it to Costco or will they not do it? Because
no, they're not going to do it. They won't do it.
Okay.
No, you could do it. They're not going to do it. They're, you know, they use a company called Yes Video, and I don't think they're going to, anything that's a commercial tape, they're just not going to touch. So, but you can do it as long, now here's the thing, when you run this thing through your computer, it may scramble. I don't know. It depends on the tape. It may not, you know, it may have copyright protection built in. So that's going to be something you're going to have to figure out. But I would try it. I mean, you can see if you want to save these things, you know, just get the – I've got an article up. If you look at my website and just search VHS, you should see the article that I did on recently on converting stuff. And I've been doing it for old home movies, and it's pretty simple. But do you have a Mac or PC? I forget.
PC.
Okay, so the thing to get is the Roxio. Easy VHS to DVD, I think it's called, and you know, you'll just need to connect your VCR to your computer, and you can do it. It all happens in real time though, so it's gonna take a while.
Oh, that's okay.
For sure.
All right. Well, I will try that, and I will look on your website. Thank you so much.
All right, Greg. Have a great day. Amazon this week announced a new delivery system. So this is Amazon Scout. It looks like a little autonomous robot, and it is a delivery robot, so it's real. It's happening. They're using it in a neighborhood north of Seattle. Probably butchering the name, but it's called Snohomish County, Washington. And this little electric delivery robot is very small. It looks like a wagon on wheels. It holds, I don't know, it looks like it holds one package. And when it comes up to your house, I'm guessing it texts you or it somehow alerts you. And then the top pops open when you walk out and you pick out your package and you go back on your merry way. There's a lot of questions here. So if you're not home, what does it do? If you're, you know, how does it know you're the person to pick up the package? How does it know you're not just some random stranger that's coming to pick up every package? But it looks interesting. They're going to be testing it in this county in northern Washington. And if it works, we may see these devices on sidewalks across America. But the thing is, all these companies are really trying to trying to make it cheaper to deliver packages. I mean, if you look around in these neighborhoods, I've got people riding bikes in my neighborhood delivering all these Amazon packages. I mean, there's so many that they're delivering that it's gotten kind of crazy. And just all these trucks they've got. So Amazon, you know, obviously we know they're experimenting with the drones. Now they're trying out this little autonomous delivery robot. We'll see how it works in real life, though, because it looks all nice. They shot the little promo video on the Universal backlot, you know, on like that Wisteria Lane road. But we'll see how this works in the real neighborhood. So that's what I'm curious to see with real people and real, you know, dogs running around and sidewalks that are all messed up. So I'm curious, but if Amazon can deliver me stuff even faster, which they're doing a pretty good job right now, I'm all for it. Now let's take another call. We've got Arturo. What's up?
I'm calling in regards to these great cloud services like Microsoft Azure. I think IBM's Flavor is Blue. I think it's what it's called, where they help you to develop a software, but kind of worried about after perhaps a certain point, then they start charging. Then you're at I get the impression, like a hostage of, wow, I have all this data in their cloud, and that software, which I very much enjoy, but I'm at a hostage at their prices.
Right. That's kind of the way of the world right now with everything. I mean, this is, you know, so here's the thing. So they're making it easy for you to develop on their platform, right? And that's kind of the beauty of it. Like, you have this amazing opportunity where you can choose from all these different AWS or, like you said, Azure, you know, any of these different platforms that you like, you can start, you know, doing whatever you want and building a business inside those. But what happens is, just like you said, the bigger you get, the more you're sort of locked in. And I kind of found this out, you know, in various ways. But I mean, if you look at the consumer level, something like Google Photos, people start storing their pictures in there for free. After a while, you're like, oh, wait a second. Now that I've got 20,000, it's really tough to take those somewhere else, right? They call it lock-in. Same thing's happening here. Same thing happens with me with a lot of these services. They become really easy. Something as simple as like MailChimp, you know, a service that lets you manage your mailing address, right? Your mailing list. Well, all of a sudden you've got 8,000, 10,000 emails in there. You built up, you know, your templates and your emails that you send out regularly, and you've got all your analytics. And what, you know, is $5 less a month going to make you switch to a different service? So this is kind of the way of the world, I think. And, I don't know. Which one are you trying to build in, and is that your main concern?
Well, I'm with the Los Angeles Pool League, and we are looking to possibly have a cloud where we can have the stats and things of that nature, and also these consolidated services. And if it's a nonprofit, organization, if they're, I presume these kind of questions are best with to ask those respected merchants. But wondering if that may also help in regards to the Los Angeles Pool League or any nonprofit organization.
Well, I don't know what their you know, setup is for nonprofits versus, you know, if you're a for-profit business. They may, you know, have a separate tier or something like that. But I think you just have to weigh kind of like the growth, like how long are you going to be with this? How much is it going to cost? Is it in the budget? And once you get to a level where it's starting to cost, you know, does this grow exponentially? You know, let's say you start using this and it's, you know, a couple people are on board, but then all of a sudden it gets really popular, whatever you're building, and it's being used by a lot of people. Is that going to, you know, basically, is it going to break your budget, you know, if you have a budget at all? So I think those are the questions you kind of have to ask when you're researching these systems. But look, in this day and age, it's all the same. We're getting faster access to more tools quickly, but the reality is there's always down the road kind of that downside of the more you lean on something, the more you're kind of in it, and it's tough to get out. And I think, you know, it's just kind of the way we're seeing with all technology. So good question, but I think a lot of it, Arturo, comes down to just researching and seeing which of these services works the best and which one you think you can comfortably grow with. So yeah, people commenting inside the podcast on the live stream. Yes, we are the product. In fact, Facebook came out and said that the reason why they exist is because we hand over our data for free, and they're able to sell ads across our data. And so that's the reality. All this stuff online these days, the stuff that you get for free, you're getting it for free because the business is making money off of you in different ways. So if you're getting Google Photos for free, there's a reason why. Clearly they're using that to train their machine learning photos, whatever. I don't know what they're doing with it. But, you know, as long as it's private and your photos are not being shared publicly, hopefully that's enough for you to say, okay, I guess on the backside, if they're using my photos for machine learning, I don't know if they're doing that. I'm assuming they are. But, you know, nothing is truly free. So Apple is releasing a new beta of iOS 12.2. And apparently, according to 9to5Mac, the new AirPods will allow you to use the hot phrase. I don't even want to say it here because I know it's going to activate everyone. Hey, Bleary. With the device in your ear. So the AirPods themselves will do the recognition. So I've noticed when I'm out running, if I've got my phone in my pocket, I can say the hot word and it will actually respond, right? Because if I say it loud enough, my phone will hear it. But this will actually be where your AirPods will be able to use this new code word or hot word, whatever you want to call it. And we saw this demoed at Apple, like I think it was WWDC or was it for the new phone? I think it was for the new iPhone, the new 10. Or 10R, whatever phone it was, but they showed this girl running. They always show like a little kind of video before the event, you know, like a fun little video that Apple produces. And it showed a girl running, and she had the AirPods in, and she just said to them something, you know, the code word, and it activated. And everyone was like, wait a second, that's not a feature. And clearly it will be a feature in the new AirPods. So we are very close. I got an email from someone saying, hey, do I wait for the new AirPods? Because it's been a while. AirPods have been around for a while now. They're fantastic. $160. They're not cheap. But what I like about them is they work very nicely across your iPhone, across your iPad, across the, you know, any ecosystem of Apple products. But they also work really nicely with Android products as well. You're not going to get as many features as you would on the Apple products, but they work pretty nicely. So I recommend them. My wife, when I went, after I got them, I said, you have to get these. And we went to the Apple store. We picked them out. She loved them. We got to the checkout stand. And when my wife saw the, I think it was $175 with tax, she was like, wait, what? You didn't tell me they cost this much. And I said, oh, you're going to love them. And sure enough, I don't know, it's been a year, 6 months, whatever it's been, she absolutely loves them, wears them at the gym, wears them basically at the gym, but just totally loves them. So I think you'll really like them. But new version coming out, so if you're thinking of buying them, maybe just think about, you know, if you can hold off, you know, maybe another 3 months. I'm thinking March is when they'll launch the new ones. This story happened this week, and the two stories, actually. Two families said their Nest cams were hacked. And what happened was, one story was, it was a Northern California family. They said that they all of a sudden heard through their Nest cam reports of missiles being launched from North Korea to the U.S. and to take cover. And so this family was clearly upset, and they ran out of the house. They took their dog and their kid, you know, whatever they had. They took everything. They just went in their car and hightailed it out. Then the other family was in Northern, I think it was Washington State, and they were in Washington State, and the same thing. They all of a sudden heard sounds coming from their camera, and you know, not the missile launch, but they said that the people actually talked to them through their camera, and they said, "Oh, nice laptop." They saw the mom using her laptop, and the mom just freaked out and pulled the camera off the wall or whatever, pulled the cord out. But how does this happen? You know, we've got a lot of Nest cams out there. We've got a lot of security cameras out there in general. But again, this is not, so as I understand it, this hack was not at the system level of Nest, right? So Nest did not get hacked. Usually what happens is the person's credentials are stolen. So I'm not going to say, I don't know what happened with both these cases. It seems like their credentials were stolen. You know, they had an easy username, easy password, and someone could have been a friend, could have been someone who just got a hold of it. It could have been a hacker just guessing, and this is what happened. So the advice I'm leaving you with is you have to, again, turn on two-factor authentication. And if you go inside the Nest app, okay, let me bring it up here, and I'll tell you exactly how to do this. So if you go into Nest, you go into settings. It's a little gear icon in the upper right-hand corner, okay? And you got to turn this on today. Then go into account, and then go into manage account, and then it says account security. And if it says password, you need to change it so it says two-step verification. So you tap there, and you basically turn on the little flip switch that says two-factor, and now you add in your phone number, it will text you a confirmation code, and then every time you log in to your Nest app, it will ask for that confirmation code. This is essential. These things are in your house. So you want to make sure that you have these things protected as much as possible. Philip Brooks here says, iPhone XS Max, Bluetooth in car doesn't always pair automatically like my iPhone 7 Plus did. Is there any fix for this? Philip, I notice in my car, same thing kind of happens. Sometimes it connects very quickly and automatically. Sometimes it doesn't. So I'm thinking it might be something with the last version of iOS. So they just came out with a new one, 12.1.3. So maybe that fixed it. But I would say the only other thing you can do to make sure that this is working properly is two things. Number one, go into your car, and I would delete all the old phones that are paired to your car. So if you have some old phones, like you said, you upgraded a 7 Plus to a iPhone 10, 10 Max, 10S Max, I'm guessing. So I would go in and delete your old phones from your car's Bluetooth because those could be messing it up. The secondary thing I would do is you can reset all of your network settings on your phone. So if you go into General and then you go into Reset and then it says Reset Network Settings. And once you do that, it will clear all of your network settings. So your carrier settings, your Wi-Fi settings, and your Bluetooth settings will all be taken back to factory, which means you will have to repair your phone to your car, but it may fix that. It may fix that issue. So that's what I usually do. But you know, start with just the car and delete your old phones that are paired, and then see if that helps. And then if that doesn't help, I would reset your network settings, delete your phone off your car, you know, the current one, and then repair everything and see if that works. It should work. Usually the cars are pretty good these days and the phones about just kind of, it's funny because my brother was out from New Jersey and we were talking about the differences between Android and iOS, and he had this nice fancy rental car. He got a Mercedes, by the way. He rented a Toyota Corolla, and when he got to the rental car place, they gave him a Mercedes. And he's like, are you sure this is my car? And they're like, yeah, this is your car. And so he loved it. He had this great Mercedes, and we were talking about how when he, with his OnePlus, it was not automatically connecting to the Bluetooth. Like, he would have to start his music every time he got into the car and connect the phone. And I said, that can't be. There's no way. So, of course, being the nerds we are, I took out my iPhone and I said, all right, well, let me show you the iPhone. So let's pair that and see what happens. So we paired it, and sure enough, immediately when we turn on the car, the music would start and it would be playing off my phone. And so I said, all right, well, something, you know, clearly this is an Android versus iOS thing. And then we realized there was a setting in the car where you can have two things linked to it. You can have two phones. And so he was setting up his phone as a secondary device. And I said, well, let's try setting it up as a primary device. And sure enough, we did, and next thing you knew, the Android played the music as soon as he got into the car. So these cars, especially the newer ones, they have kind of an auto trigger. So when you get into the car, your car is telling the Bluetooth on your phone, hey, we see that you connected, now let me give that message to the phone to play music. And my old car did not do this, which drove me nuts, because that's the only feature I wanted. I just wanted my phone to play music or a podcast as soon as I got into the car without all this, like, you know, moving around and pressing buttons and stuff. And so my new car does it, thankfully. And I really, it's one of those like small features that really comes into hand, really comes in handy. This was one of the most popular stories of 2018 that I did at KTLA. It's about a new wireless carrier named Visible. And this is Verizon's unlimited carrier. It's kind of a secret. I call it the secret plan, because Verizon has this carrier. It's called Visible. They own them, but they sell a plan. They only have one plan. It's $40 for unlimited everything. So you get unlimited data. You get unlimited voice. Basically, it's unlimited. The only caveat is that the speed of your data is limited to just 5 megabits per second. So Yes, Verizon Network is super fast. It can handle much faster. But to be honest, most people don't need more than that. I do, because I'm uploading, downloading, live streaming, all that good stuff. But for the average person that's just checking their mail, you know, posting stuff to social media, all that stuff, you really don't need the super fast connection that Verizon offers. So if you want to save a bundle of money every month, definitely check out Visible. And Visible is kind of secretive. There's not much advertising about it. It's kind of word of mouth right now. But let me tell you what's new. So when I did the story, the only thing that Visible had was support for the iPhone. But now they did announce that they are supporting two Samsung Android devices. So if you have a Galaxy S9 or an S9 Plus, you can now consider Visible. And so for $40 a month, you literally get it all. You get unlimited everything. There's no throttling, except, like I said, your speed is limited to 5, and they do that. Like, it's not a threat. Like, that's the way your speed is limited. I did test this, but it worked. We tried Netflix. We tried YouTube. We tried social media, Instagram stories. We tried phone calls. Everything was great, and you're getting the full Verizon network, which is really cool. So if you're looking to save some money on your wireless bill, this really only works if you have one line, maybe two. I think that if you get into the two lines with Verizon, it might be cheaper to actually get the full plan from them. But if you're just one line and you want to save, you know, almost $50 a month, I think that this is something to consider. I would love to have it. I keep wanting to switch my wife over. I keep kind of forgetting or putting it off because you do not get international. So not that we're going international very often, but the one time we do, my wife will be like, oh, I can't use my phone because I don't have the international plan. So I'm basically paying $50 a month extra on my wife's line so that she can one day travel outside the country and use her phone. So yeah, it doesn't sound very smart. I'm going to have to switch her over. Uber Rewards is now rolling out. This is Uber's new rewards program. Everyone has one these days. I just got it on my phone here in Los Angeles, but it's rolling out to various cities around the world. And Uber Rewards is your basic, you know, frequent flyer program, whatever type of rewards program. It's kind of inspired by the airlines, right? The more you take a ride with Uber, the better perks you get. I personally don't think the perks are that great, but still, I love my loyalty programs. I'm obsessed, so I will play the game. And let me tell you about the different levels. You've got Blue, Gold, Platinum, and Diamond. And so immediately when I joined, I immediately leveled up to Gold because they're looking at your last 6 months of spending. And for Gold, you have to spend or you have to get 500 points. And so 500 points, it's kind of course, like all good frequent flyer programs, you can't just go points to dollars, right? So they make you do a lot of math in your head. But basically, to get points, let me see here. 1 point for every dollar spent on Uber Pool and Uber Eats, 2 points for every dollar spent on Uber X, and 3 points for every dollar spent on Premium. So let's say you only took Uber X, you would have to spend $250 to get Gold. Let's say you only took Premium, it'd be you'd almost spend like maybe $175 to get Uber Gold. Now, Platinum is 2,500 points. Diamond is 7,500 points. So if you look at Diamond and you're only taking Uber X, you need to spend almost $4,000 on Uber in 6 months to get to that Diamond level. And yeah, the points, they kind of reset every 6 months. So what do you get for Gold? Not much. $5 rewards cash. That's what you get every time you spend 500 points. Flexible cancellations for the Gold and priority support. Big deal. Platinum, you actually get some pretty good things. The best I see here is that you get price protection between your two favorite places. So let's say you actually use Uber to commute to work. You can say, I want price protection on that route. And every time you take that route, you will pay the same price, which is kind of cool. Or I guess maybe not the same exact price, but you won't pay surge pricing. So I like that. Now, if you're Diamond, this is the access. This is the level I want. You get priority pickup at airports, complimentary upgrades. So that's really cool. Let's say you order an Uber X and you get an Uber Black or you get an Uber Select, whatever. But that happens to me sometimes. It used to happen a lot more. It doesn't happen as often anymore. But if you're Diamond, it would happen a lot. And then you get special access to highly rated drivers. Now, here's where I have a problem with Uber. Because when I first went to the first party I ever went to where Uber picked me up and it was kind of part of the deal of the party, I remember the Uber folks telling me that part of the magic of Uber was that they were matching the best rated passengers with the best rated drivers. And that makes a lot of sense, right? If you're a great passenger, you deserve the best driver. Well, apparently they've stopped doing that for the average person. And I've definitely noticed that, Uber, because the rides I've been in have been very hit or miss. And I'm a big Uber taker. I'm almost exclusively taking Uber on the weekends because I don't like to drive. So, and I've even taken it to work super early in the morning. It's just amazing how the fabric of our world has changed thanks to Uber, right? You can go anywhere. And I've taken this in cities around the world, and it's just as easy as it is here. The only time I did run into a problem was in China because I was in a super-duper crowded square, and they were trying to pick me up, and the guy kept calling me speaking Chinese, and I could not answer him. I didn't know how to say, like, where I was or whatever, and it was too crowded where GPS just would not work. So I did have to take a standard cab at that point because I just, you know, hailed one, and I took it back to my convention center that I was going to. But otherwise, Uber has been great. I do think that it is very hit or miss, which is understandable because, you know, you're talking Uber. They have a lot of drivers out there, a lot of people just trying it out, just doing it and then stopping. I like when I get the guys that are the, what do I call, lifetime drivers, right? That they're basically making a living off of it, and they're incentivized to have a nice ride. So they keep their car nice. They keep the little mints in the back. They do a lot of nice stuff to keep everyone happy. Those are the guys I like, and gals. I've had a couple female drivers, but mainly it's men. But there you have it. So Uber Rewards, be on the lookout when you open up your app. Netflix is now letting you share your favorite shows to Instagram stories, and this is just a small thing, but I really like it. So Netflix now, when you press that little share button on the iOS app, will bring up a special share menu, not your standard share menu on the iPhone, but you can now share to Instagram stories. And what's cool about this is you can share, let's say you're watching a show on Netflix, and I would mention a show, but to be honest, I don't watch anything on Netflix, so I can't even mention a show that I know of on Netflix right now. But if you were watching a show that you fell in love with, you could share that using the share menu to your Instagram stories. And if you've used this functionality on Spotify, it's very similar. So what they do is they make a beautiful piece of artwork that's shared to your stories that now tells your friends that you're watching this show. And it's really cool. It's a small feature, but it's kind of fun. And Netflix knows, clearly Netflix has the word of mouth down. But I think that if you find a little nugget on there that you really like a documentary or whatever. I mean, even if you just want to share that you're watching a show, this is the new way to do it because Instagram Stories is where it's at. So try it out. I don't have it on my phone just yet. My producer does. But all you have to do is open up the Netflix app on iPhone right now. They're saying they're going to try to do it on Android, but right now it's just iPhone. You press info on the show, or you just get to the show page that you're on, and then you'll see my list, rate, and share. You tap share, and when you have it, you'll see a new share screen that will say Instagram Stories. If you see the standard iPhone share screen, you don't have it yet. So I don't have it yet. I can't wait to have this. And let's see. Do I recognize? The first thing that comes up on mine is the Ted Bundy tapes, Friends from College, Versace, Fire. Oh, that's what I got to watch. Everyone's talking about this Fire Festival documentary. I got to watch that on Netflix. So I'll carve out some time one of these days. And finally, let's end with this, the MacIndex.com. So I travel around the world for my job, and I'm always wondering, like, is it a better deal to buy an iPhone in Japan or a MacBook in, Utah? Oh, wait, that's still here. Just kidding. Or like a MacBook in Italy, right? So this is a new website called the MacIndex.com. And I don't know if you've ever heard of something called the Big Mac Index, but it's kind of like the price of a Big Mac around the world, so you can get an idea of different economies. But this guy, this developer, I'm not even going to try to say his name, Wafiq Radzwan, Malaysian software developer. It basically just shows you how much the Apple products cost around the world. So if you're interested in an iPhone, it'll say here's how much it is in these cities. And if let me just bring up the website real quick. So the Mac Index, INDEX.com. And so if I look at the main website, you can see kind of the different products that he has. And so for the iPhone XS, the cheapest place to buy it is Japan for $1,521 American dollars. And then if you go down all the way to the end of his list, Brazil is the most expensive at $2,691. So $2,691. Wow, that's wild. So don't buy an iPhone in Brazil if you can help it. So now, if I was going to Norway, I could get the iPhone XS Max Smart Battery Case for the cheapest. It's $122 in Norway. And here in the U.S., it is $141. So I'd have to fly to Norway to save $20, which I'm not going to do. But, hey, I'm just throwing it out there. But this is a great little website. It's just kind of fun to see. And if you happen to be in a different country, like it looks like Japan is rocking a lot of these lists. So in Japan, AirPods are the cheapest at $155. In the U.S., like I said, with tax, AirPods, yep, I was right. See, I said earlier, I said $174 with tax. So they're saying an average of 10% sales tax. So I think that's, yeah, what I about paid for those. But anyway, kind of a fun little website to check out, the MacIndex.com. Since you guys are listening to the podcast and you like to hear my little stories about life as a news reporter, so this was kind of fun this week. You know, I wrote the book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, and it's been great. It's been fantastic. I thank you all for purchasing it. I thank you all for actually I thank you all for actually reviewing it now on Amazon. You guys are definitely leaving some great reviews, so thank you for that. But here's the thing. So a lot of people in the past, they ask me to like speak at these things, and you know, sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no. But the other day, you know, I got a question or an email from the Rotary Club over in Camarillo, California, and they're like, hey, would you mind speaking to our little club? And I was like, I know it's only going to be like 20 people or 30 people or maybe 50. And yeah, when I got there, it was a small group of people. But I will tell you, I had so much fun talking to these people and talking about tips from my book and just my career and all this stuff. And then at the end, now that I have a book, I can actually sell it. And I got to say, it was a lot of fun. Of course, I want to give my book away, right? But it took me a lot of work. And to print a physical book, you can't just give it away because I'd be losing money. But it was really fun. So I guess my point is, it was great, and I love the fact that I now have something to really talk about, which is the book and some of the tips from the book and showing people the tips. But also, if you want me to speak at your little event, go ahead and call me. Email me hello@richontech.tv, and we can talk about getting me there. Obviously, I think at minimum maybe 40 people is probably a good amount. I think they had about 40 at the event for the Rotary Club, but it was great. I'll do other Rotary Clubs, and it was very intimate. You know, I've spoken at like large corporate events. There's no back and forth, right? You're just speaking to a group of maybe 5,000 people. That was probably the biggest I ever did. But you know, if you're talking smaller, it's kind of fun because you get to do that back and forth. And I've done a lot of panels, but you know, it's not always about me. It's about just kind of monitoring the panel. So, you know, this was definitely a new experience. It was kind of fun, and I'll do it again. So hello@richontech.tv. All right, so I've got some of the folks on the live stream, and they're asking me questions here. Let's see here. We've got Tracy Cortez saying, next, doorbell versus Ring. Do you think Ring will ever pair with the Google Hub? Okay, Nest versus Ring. So I like the Ring doorbell. They're kind of the market leader. I still like them for the doorbell because they're so simple. You can literally connect a Ring to any doorbell and any door. You don't have to wire if you don't want to. They have obviously different levels. I like that. I've got the Ring at home. I do like the Nest because, like you said, the integration with Google. But I still think Nest is not as established as Ring when it comes to their doorbell. So I still think that the Ring is kind of like the gold standard of doorbells. That's their entire business, right? I mean, the number one part of their business. So if you have to think about, they're working on their doorbell and making it better every single day of their life. I think Nest is probably doing similar, you know, but they're a much bigger company. They've got thermostats, they've got other smart home devices, they've got cameras. So the doorbell, I'm sure they have a great team working on it, but Ring, it's like, that's their bread and butter. So I say stick with Ring for now. Yeah, I wish I had the Google Hub integration, but I think it works pretty darn well for what it is. Let's see. Do you have to be paid? Oh, Toby says, do you have to be paid in order to go to an event and speak? It's different every time. I mean, here's my rule of thumb. My rule of thumb is if it's a corporate event or someone's making money on the event, you know, I would like a stipend to be there, right? Because my time is not free. But if it's something like the Rotary Club, no, they didn't pay me, and I was very happy. Now, I did sell my books, which was kind of fun, And I never did that before. Usually I speak, but here's the thing. Everything is I take it case by case basis, right? I've spoken at huge events where they've flown me out to Europe and I've spoken at little tiny schools. And, I don't mind. I love everything that comes my way. I will take a look at, see what it's all about, and make a decision based on what I think. Sometimes I don't want to do it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I really want to do it. And so I don't even care if you pay me, nothing. But, it all depends. Vicky said, someone told me my internet is too slow for Ring Doorbell. Is that correct? Your internet is probably not too slow, but your Wi-Fi is probably really bad. So unless you have DSL or dial-up internet, that's the only thing that's too slow for Ring. But Ring can work on a pretty slow connection by today's standards. I mean, internet connections are pretty good. Most of the time, the problem that people have with their Ring doorbell or anything, these security cameras, really has to do with their Wi-Fi device. So their Wi-Fi router. And that's why I recommend these new mesh routers from the likes of, Eero or Google Wi-Fi. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. Thanks so much for watching on Facebook Live and chatting with me today. If you want more information on anything I talked about here, just go to my website, richontech.tv. There is also where I post all of my stories that I do on KTLA, all the things I think are interesting. You can also find me on social media. Find me on Instagram at richontech. And on Facebook, I am Rich on Tech as well. And if you're downloading the podcast, you can just look in the show notes to everything I talk about here. Thanks so much to everyone who has purchased the book. It is called 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone. It's on Amazon right now. It makes a great gift for yourself. It makes a great gift for someone you know, someone that's hard to shop for. And the best part about this book, when you're an adult, you don't really continue to learn about a ton of stuff, right? You don't, especially with this thing in your pocket, this device you spent so much money on, you really feel out of control with it, right? Well, when you buy this book and you read the book, you will feel in control of something, and that's your phone. And it's fun. I will tell you, when I spoke to those folks at the Rotary Club, just watching their face light up when I showed them a few of the tips from my book, we did them in real time. We all demoed, we took out our phones and we did it together. It was really cool. And it was so fun to see that reaction. I feel like that reaction is happening in living rooms around the nation right now with my book. I just don't get to see it because I'm not there. So check out the book on Amazon. Thanks so much for listening. Catch me on KTLA. I'm on every morning, 5:45 or 5:35 a.m., 7:45, and 9:30 if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area. If you live in a city like Cleveland or New Orleans or San Diego, you can catch me as well. I'm on syndicated. And I will see you guys online. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.